It's true that costs for college have gone up substantially over the past 30 years, and much of that has been blamed on rising tuition costs. Proponents on the left and the right talk about the need to reduce those costs. Steve Brooks spent many years working as the executive director of the State Education Assistance Authority, and he says that the problem is actually much more complex. Brooks says that costs have risen mostly because of a lack of political action from both the left and the right.
Politicians, really beginning in the 90s, have reduced the level of support they have provided, particularly for public education, so that tuitions have gone up mostly in the public sector as a result of the diminishing state support for that education.
Due to that cut in support, Brooks says that the emphasis on financial aid from the federal government has increased dramatically. As those cuts occurred with a simultaneous streamlining of the financial aid application process, Brooks says that it's become much more difficult to provide aid that is reflective of a student's actual financial needs.
Because the more simplistic you can make something, the less likely it is to have an equitable outcome. I remember in 1992 when the federal formula was really streamlined and simplified. Somebody pointed out to me that this would be great if there were enough money to fund everybody who needed money. But since there's not enough money, now you're going to have a situation where you can't really tell with any degree of precision who needs it and who doesn't.
Brooks also acknowledges that it is difficult to focus solely on equity and real need as indicators for financial aid. If you do, he argues, you could come up with an application that is far too difficult for most people to comprehend and might turn off people from applying for aid in the first place. Brooks also argues that federal student loan default actually isn't as big a problem as the media makes it out to be. He argues that often, people who default on federal debt are people that probably shouldn't have gone to school in the first place.
For example, the undergraduate loan limits that the federal government has put in are an attempt to say, don't overborrow for your first years of college. At the same time, most loan defaults happen to people who have less than a full year of education. They borrow and they drop out and they say, well, why should I have to pay it back? But they do have to pay it back.
He also feels that the increasing role of private loans and grants for school is growing increasingly complicated, and it's hard to say what role, if any, the government should play in it.
I don't know how you do it, because let's say that I'm a student and I happen to own my house. I could get a home equity line and use it for my education. Is that a student loan? I mean, it's got somebody else that's insuring it. So it's just really difficult to know what the role of the federal government ought to be in regulating any kind of private lending to me.
Despite his hesitance at the federal government's role in private loans, Brooks is not in favor of an increased role of private entities in funding higher education for students. When asked about Senator Marco Rubio's plan to have students receive funding from private entities to pay for school in exchange for a percentage of their income after graduation, he doesn't hold back.
You know, he could call it a stock option if he likes. I think it's more like indentured servitude, so that a student basically is signing away a portion of his or her future earnings forever, in some cases, to a company that wants to recruit that student. It's very difficult to see how that works for millions of students. It's fairly easy to see how it would work for people at the top of the heap.
Brooks also expresses some hesitance about the recent movement to make higher education a public commodity. He says that such a plan would not necessarily cover all the costs of going to school. He cites North Carolina's community college system as an example of this.
Between Pell Grant, a state grant, and the HOPE tax credit, nobody making under $180,000 a year is paying a dime of tuition in North Carolina right now to go to community college. But if you go and talk to students who go, they still find it a struggle to get all their other expenses paid, because they have to buy books, they have to get to and from class, they have to have clothing, they have to have all those things you would have if you were out living and not going to school. And those are real costs of going to college. So one of my big fears about free tuition is the taxpayer would kind of clap his hands and say the job's done. And in fact, it wouldn't be done at all. In fact, there'd be lots of students who couldn't afford to pursue it because it was free.
Brooks argues instead that the federal financial aid system is meant to provide a balancing act between public and private means of funding higher education, and that more time and effort should be put into it. Will Arrington, 97.9 The Hill.